The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Gil Alexander, Wyatt Tomchek in for Kelly Bidlin. Kelly will be back on Monday, everybody. Is that true? Is that correct?
That is correct. I texted him yesterday.
Okay.
You know, see if he wanted to come on, do a little NBA.
Yeah.
He didn't text me back for like 12 hours. I was like, dang, he really ghosted me. He goes, I'm so sorry. I just saw your text. I was in a poker tournament.
Is it a poker? Good for him.
Yeah. So I was like, you know what? Enjoy your time.
Our guest, who is who's kind enough to stick around for another segment here in studio, usually on with Patrick and Dustin and Amal in the afternoons. Patrick's taking all of July, I think, off. So you're a free agent in the month of July. So I get to benefit from that. And
yes.
You hang out with us here for a couple segments. Steve Fezzik, you ran into Kelly, right, randomly?
Yes, randomly. His first night of vacation with two of his friends right here at the South Point, like 1 a.m., I am. I can't forecast how his entire vacation is going, but based upon what I saw, he's having the time of his life, and maybe he'll show up a little late.
Good for him.
Day one back. Good for Kelly.
He deserves it. All right, we got a lot to get to. Let's start with the plays, because people are going to be, if that's the one thing we forget to get to, people are going to get upset about. So five plays that exist right now that are bettable, and sort of give us the overview of, are there certain times of year you're looking at more than others?
Yes. So when I look at games of the year, I kind of go reverse chronological to find the softest numbers because everyone else goes chronological. You don't want to tie up all your money. So you start betting. Let me look at week two, week three, week four, and I go oppo. Let me go week 18, 17, 16. If I'm getting to it after about a month, because the efficiency, back to that efficiency, week one NFL, most efficient lines you'll ever see. Week three, now it's starting to get a little more efficient. People bet into them, but you get deep into the season, like week 15, you get into December. A lot of those lines, almost virgin lines, a lot of people haven't touched, and those are the ones that have the softest numbers.
And you're all about it. You have no issue holding your money over for the opportunity cost of that money being out there for that period of time. There are going to be some, inevitably, who listen to this, you know, who are like, oh, I don't want to keep my money out there. But your whole thing is, if I think/know that I'm going to get the best of it, you're good with it.
Exactly. And frankly, there are pros that have, like, millions of dollars invested in bond funds and CDs. And I'm like, you know, you're earning 2.5% over a 12-month period. You know, you should probably be able to do a little better in this ultra-soft market just investing your money for 5 months.
All right. So let's get to them. What you got?
Let's do it. December 10th. Fast forward to December. Baltimore at home against the Rams, laying 6. I make this game 8. I love this bet. I think Baltimore is a team that the pros absolutely are on. As long as Lamar Jackson stays healthy, Baltimore is a serious contender, not just to win, to make the playoffs, but to win the Super Bowl. And the Rams, whole new defense, an offense that is extremely fragile if Cooper Kupp gets injured, if Stafford gets injured. So Baltimore -6 first bet.
-6 December 10th, and that would be week – I just want to get the week number for everybody. That's week 14. Week 14 in the National Football League, Baltimore -6 versus the Rams. Number two, sir.
Let's go to week 15. The LA is at Las Vegas, so we are getting Herbert and company catching +1.5 in no universe and no situation. Now, I get it. I know why DraftKings made the Raiders a favorite. Thursday team, home team has the advantage. Don't care. The Chargers are so much better than the Raiders this year. This is just a bad line. +1.5, outstanding value. This would be my best bet of the five.
That's Thursday night game. That's your best bet of the five. Thursday night football, December 14th, week number 15. That's your best bet of the five. Number three, sir.
Number three, let's go to December 17th. New Orleans Saints are -125. Hosting the New York Giants. By the way, I do compare the spread to the money line. I love that DraftKings gives me the option to play either one of them. It's better in this case to lay the 125. Common theme here, Saints are not just better. They're significantly better than the Giants, and they have a good home field advantage. -125 is way too cheap. Really good bet.
All right, that's also week 15, but that's the Sunday of week 15. Number four.
Let's stay and this on the same Sunday, same theme, Detroit Lions. They're better than the Denver Broncos. Again, two teams that are good at home. So I like the home team. I get the better team. I make it -3.25, meaning should either be -3 or -3.5. I'm only laying 2. Detroit Lions -2.
Detroit against the Broncos at home, laying 2, pick number 4, and pick number 5.
Number 5, and we'll go same week, Atlanta Falcons. A lot of people very high on the Falcons.
I'm a little skeptical as well.
I think it's a bridge too far, but I tell you this, maybe Atlanta's not going to make the playoffs. Maybe they're not going to win the division, but they're better than the Indianapolis Colts. They're significantly better, and they'll have a pretty good home field advantage if they have a decent year. So Atlanta minus 130. I again make this line minus 3.25. If I can get a team that should be north of minus 3, laying $1.25, that's a bargain. So I'm on Atlanta.
Wait, what's the date on that game?
That is, I believe it's 12-17. I may have misread. Might be 12-24.
Yeah, I think it's 12-24 for that one because they're not playing the Colts that week.
Yes,
24th. Yes, Christmas Eve morning, if you will, the 24th on a Sunday. Falcons minus 130 hosting the Indianapolis Colts. Okay. Well, I didn't know that we would have December football bets today, but it is football week, and there you go. Here we are.
Bold prediction. Bet these now. By July 4th, none of these numbers will exist.
Oh, which brings up a great Fezzikism, if you will. One of your favorite exercises that people should do for the football season, they should write down. We do guessing lines every Monday, but this is your version of it.
Yes, and that's actually, I'm taking this from my friend Leon, who goes by the 8 of clubs, because it's the most nondistinct card in the deck. He likes to stay under the radar, and I just disclosed his name.
You know, O's the mentalist guessed that I picked the 8 of clubs. What, didn't I have the 8 of clubs that day when he was in here?
Yes, you did.
Yes, oh, and he guessed
I know the
it.
Video. I can't remember. You got it right.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
Because that's a fly under me. I'd be the 6 of diamonds. But he's the 8 of clubs. I'm sorry I gave away your name, Leon. but he loves this. Take, right, very important. During your July 4th vacation, take the NFL sides and totals week 1. Write down every single side, every single total. Lock it. Put it in an envelope. Lock it in a drawer. Don't do any work between betting the NFL until 1 hour before kickoff. Open up that drawer. Open up that envelope. Boom. Take a look at what the numbers were. Look at whatever moved the most. All right? So if a total moved from 43 to 46, you're going opposite. You're going under 46. You're going to fade the line move because it's a bridge too far.
So I misspoke. This is not about your opinion. This is about what those lines are today, side and total, then what they are right before the week 1 games, and then fade the move.
Yes, and when Kenny White was making all the odds, Kenny, very respected bookmaker here in Vegas, I used to say, I love having Kenny. Who you got week 1? And I'm like, I got Kenny White +4 if a line moved 4 points.
Kenny White +4. Okay, let's get to another thing because I teased this earlier. This is a great topic. Sharps' unwillingness to listen to other sharps. I know you love this as well.
Yeah, and you know what? This is like self-advice, self-improvement for myself, because I certainly fall into this bucket. But we all need to improve more. Now, it's easy for someone who's a novice to learn from an expert. But the experts oftentimes have great difficulty learning from other experts. So what happens is so often we get involved in debates. How should we play big money line parlays? Yes, no, how should we play them? And there's one faction that says never play it. Some faction says, oh, they're perfectly fine. Another faction says, no, just play them straight. And we wind up debating all that. But what happens oftentimes, we all walk away with our opinion before the conversation without being willing to alter our opinion and say, you know what, I can learn from that and I can get better from that. And I can't tell you how many times that where I've really improved as a better is going in with an open mind saying, you know what? Look at NBA, Tankapalooza. I was like a guy, you can't win playing into these big bid-ass spreads on NBA lines when they're like minus 1,200, plus 800. Nobody wins playing into those. And Gil Alexander, winner, 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 winner. It's like the market was wrong. The market thought these underdogs had a legit chance to win as 16-point underdogs, but they didn't because they didn't want to win.
So, by the way, and we're all raising our hands, right? This is not you're above this or I'm above this. This to me is a human nature thing. This goes beyond sports betting. I think generally, and I'll see if you agree with me on this, generally people, the way that brains are wired, right? People would rather be, I don't know if they'd rather be in the end if you gave them truth serum, but in the moment, they'd rather be wrong their way than right someone else's way.
Exactly. And in the movie White Man Can't Jump, for instance, I think there's a famous line, you'd rather lose and look good than win and look bad. And that's the criticism that's given by Woody Harrelson. And I agree with a lot of that. A lot of people would rather do it their way, and maybe it's been successful in the past, than take a step back and say, you know what? This other fellow's better at this than I am. Live wagering, for instance, that's one of my specialties. I have a friend, Pastrami. He's one of the greatest live wagers in the world.
Pastrami.
And Pastrami, by the way, Pastrami just got knocked out by Daniel Negreanu. He's a great poker player at a $10,000 buy-in.
No shame there.
I had a piece of him.
He's
like, but I had an open ender, straight flush. but the bottom line is that I've learned so much from, and Pastrami has eclipsed me. He is a better live wager, and the fact that I recognize that makes me so much better.
Okay, so isn't within that, I think we're glossing over a main point, which is that, you know, again, I used to bet baseball more than anything. Now I bet tennis more than anything. Your ability to realize when your edge is gone also, right?
Exactly. NFL yes. Week one, what's my best bet, Gil? I've made like 14 best bets already. I don't like anything at the current. I don't think I can find a 53% bet. Oh, I'd bet the Packers plus three against the Bears, but you know what? I can't get plus three anymore. You get where I'm going.
Yes. There's so much more. I don't even want to start some of these other topics because we'll get too far into them. We only have a minute left, but will you come back Monday?
Oh, absolutely.
Because I want to touch on a few topics, one of which is one of your favorites, which is why Seven Stars at Caesars is so good, and Steve will make an impassioned case about that because Bill Krakenberg came on here and he slandered that opinion about that. So you have
because
a
he wasn't on his free cruise.
He wasn't on his free cruise. That's right. But I also want to talk about what we should be looking for in college football the first few weeks of the season. We won't give that away. We'll do that on Monday, and then the other one again, a topic about pros and non pros. Why pros don't flat bet. Great topic. Why they don't flat bet, which you hear a lot of people say, oh, yeah, I bet the same thing on everything. You have something to say about that.
Yeah, and we'll talk about it on Monday. But, yes, a true pro will spot I can't believe this is too good to be true bet once a month.
Yeah.
And just keep betting it until he basically is out of money and has to go get more money.
I love that. Love that. Atlanta Braves, anyone? Thank you, Steve. We'll talk Monday.
Thank you, Gil.
My man. Coming back, Wimbledon with Zach Cohen.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Don't forget, before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Splitting bets.
This guy. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes so you can see changes in the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check them out. All of today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Wyatt, you made your mark with that one. Well done.
You scared me. I thought you were reading the wrong read at first.
No, no, that's my stall myself that I don't have the correct read up. So I always say, proudly brought to you by Ben. Yeah, that's right. We get tweets at Beating the Book, and I want to get through as many of these as possible. Stuart Carlin, after listening to your show earlier this week, I went out and found Petrik Vidova 22-1 to win Wimbledon. Thanks for the heads up. Love your show. Thank you, Stuart. Glad. By the way, Kvitova, Kudermatova. I don't want people betting both of those in the quarters. Kvitova also to win it all. Kudermatova for the quarter. Jesse Welch. Jose Ramirez stole home in the top of the 10th yesterday. Clear steal of home. He was called out at first, but was overturned. The umpire's review. What were the odds of because we were talking about the perfect game yesterday. What were the odds of a perfect game back-to-back days then with a steal of home? Because remember, there are four things more rare than a perfect game. One of them was a steal of home, and then bam, back-to-back games. That's back-to-back days. That's amazing. J-Rod deserves the shout of the morning. He's the first to put up the quarterly women's numbers. By the way, no sign of the men's yet, I guess. But he said MGM was the first outside of Nevada to do that. Yes, Kudermatova at 5-1 was the play earlier, and yes, Kvitova at plus 333 was the play earlier in her quarter as well. This is from Ryan Lewis also talking about the Jose Ramirez steal of home. What are the chances of that having back-to-back games? Jay Green pointing out that the Q2 odds were live. Kevin at Kevtra 2, there's a prop out there, Swiatek, Sabalenka, Rybakina versus the field at minus 120 both ways. Any interest? No, I do not have interest in that. PAW, great show and content, Gil. Which of the tennis majors is the most profitable for you? Historically, the U.S. Open. Hard courts, always hard courts. Most robust data. Tim Kafer, got Kudermatova 5-1. Thanks for the insight. As always, you're a gentleman in a school bus. Jamie Leva, when you said topic at the top of the show, why did this pop into my head? That's a picture of, what's my man's name? who was Austin Powers, Mike Myers.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike Myers doing the coffee talk skit on a Saturday Night Live. Marty Ballard, I have a nice Shohei MVP ticket from a few months ago. DraftKings offers a bet for any other player other than Shohei to win at plus 650. Should I consider placing a bet as insurance in case he gets traded or injured? I mean, I'm not going to tell you no. I would not. I'd let it roll, but I can't say, you know, I will never argue against caution in that case. But yes, absolutely his to win. Mike Goosh, I literally load up MGM app as quick as I can, go to bet Kudermatova at 5-1, market closed. Thanks, Gil. Love the show. Primetime, Cowboys underscore Cubs won. I laughed out loud when Chris Velika noted that awards betting means we're dealing with human beings voting. Human beings, worst invention ever, to quote the great Todd Wishnevi says. Nash, Kudermatova down to 490 and then 4-1 at some spots. Gil's voice, did I do that? It's actually Urkel's voice. Alan Mitchell, Gil, always a good show, but futures talk from the College World Series to the Oscars, always the best. Glad you enjoyed Brian Ortega yesterday. Tim Kafer, Kudermatova now 4-1 in New Jersey. Stan Ginsberg, enjoying the Fezzik interview. I had to laugh when I heard he was an actuary. Years ago, I worked on retirement plans with an actuary, and he told me that actuaries were the only ones accountants are allowed to make fun of. Yes, in the nerd hierarchy, that's for sure. The silent Mike D, he doesn't like what Fezzik had to say. He goes, how does Fezzik have any idea how good or bad Denver's going to be? He's trying to read the market. Nevada Azer, hearing you and Fezzik reminds me of the most important lesson I ever learned, emotional intelligence. A lot of people don't understand this. Thank you. That's very nice of you. Todd Bubba Hurwitz, amateurs want to be right. Pros want to make money. By the way, tell Steve CD rates are 5.25, 5.25. And Big Slash, what is this? Big J's Bets. He says, it is fantastic how much you can learn in as little as 5 to 10 minutes listening, watching Gil on a numbers game on VSiN. Today's Nuggets from Fezzik Sports. Fantastic. Thank you. All thanks to Steve Fezzik. Ladies and gentlemen, Zach Cohen joins us. He was a big contributor to the football guide. We had him on earlier this week to talk football, but the Wimbledon draw is out, and he's a big tennis guy. He works at Tennis Channel, has a tennis podcast as well, so we want to lean on him for his insights. How you doing, Zach?
Doing well. I'm excited for Wimbledon.
Yeah, man. Draw is out. At least and we got this morning women's numbers and quarters. I'm not sure we have the men's out yet, but the women's is more robust. Where did you land? Where do you see bets?
I didn't even end up seeing quarter numbers before coming on. I did see just futures.
Okay.
But, you know, it's funny because someone mentioned to you that special from DraftKings with the big three against the field. I actually do think I would take the field. I mean, if there's any tournament to do it, it'd be this one. You know, I'm really high on Kvitova as well. I think that she's probably my favorite pick to win this tournament. It's only down to plus 1300 now. But yeah, I think that, you know, two-time champion, just won a big tournament. I think that she's probably my favorite bet to win. And there's so many players in quarter two, you know, between Vekic, Kudermatova, Jung. I just think that so many of those players could potentially, you know, disrupt the field.
Yeah, I'm with you. If I were to bet, if you made me bet one of them, I would take the field for sure. I mean, that's the... But I am not going to touch that. But that is, you know, where do you think, because Chris Velika and I were talking about this briefly, and he was, you know, my whole thing is I think Q3 and Q4 were the most just completely packed with great players. And for me, the bets, you know, the bets landed on Q2 for Kudermatova and Kvitova at Q3, and I have Kvitova and Swiatek and all kinds of different ways to win this. You also, like, Kvitova was one of your bets as well to win outright?
Yeah, before I saw the draw, I really liked Kvitova and Ostapenko, and they both ended up in Q3.
Yes, they did.
So yeah, I see Q3 is just a huge mess, and it actually, it's something of a bummer because it's going to be really tough for Kvitova to win, but I still think you got to take it.
It is a bummer because it's Jabeur, Pliskova, Kvitova, Haddad, Maia, Ostapenko, and Rybakina in one quarter. And then I would even argue Q4, right? Sakkari, Keys, Andreeva, Krejcikova, Alexandrova, Sabalenka. It's ridiculous how it got weighted that way. We're doing a podcast after this with Drew. We got to get you on. By the way, when is your tennis podcast available? For those who are interested, when is it available?
So I figured out the mix up with the tennis podcast.
Oh,
I was a guest on another podcast called Matchpoint Number 9. And I think that maybe was the confusion, but I will be on Monday and Friday doing Tennis Bets Live with Tennis Channel. It's at Tennis Bets on Twitter.
Okay. So Tennis Channel, how often does that work out for you then?
We usually do a live show every Wednesday, but we're doing it Monday and Friday next week. And we probably do, one show every Wednesday. And then I do a couple of write-ups there as well.
That's a beautiful thing. Okay. Men's side, if was there another name besides Kvitova that you wanted, that, you know, besides the short shots, was there another longer shot like Kvitova you wanted to highlight? Or is that really who you land on?
No, that's really it. Honestly, I think as far as matches go, I do like Siniaková to beat Jung in the first round. And I think that's going to be a really tough matchup, but that's one play I have so far.
Wow, good for you, because that's the one thing I haven't looked at yet is the first round matches.
They just popped up.
Yeah, just popping up now. Okay, on the men's side, obviously this is much more top-heavy, right? It's Joker, it's Carlos Alcaraz. Is there a play, like, again, the draw is out? For me, Yannick Sinner in Q3 ends up but that's the bet to me. Was there something that stood out to you?
So as crazy as it sounds, I'm waiting for a line on Ruud to win Q3. I know that he's historically horrible on grass. I know that he hasn't played any grass court tournaments leading up to this. It actually looks like he's played more golf than tennis in the last 2 weeks. But I don't know. I just thought that the way that the draw shook out for him, it's still, you know, a top five player in the sport. I think that he could potentially figure it out. He plays a qualifier in round one. Looks like he'll play Listien in round two, Shapovalov in round three, and then potentially Borna Coric or Roberto Bautista Agut, who neither one of them is good on grass either. So I think that, you know, for a player that isn't good on grass, you got a really good draw to potentially make a run.
It's a good point. You've never gotten past the second round of Wimbledon, and you said it, like Iga, it doesn't really, I mean, Iga at least got a few matches under a belt, but Casper Ruud got none under. When last he was seen on Instagram, he was at big concerts all around the world and enjoying himself. Okay, so this is, I mean, let's just brass tacks this. This is Novak's for you. Like, in other words, if the final ends up being Novak versus Alcaraz, which is what everybody sort of expects it to be, obviously Daniil Medvedev, Yannick Sinner, they'll have something to say about that. But you figure that's the final, and if so, what's the price you would need to play Alcaraz?
Yeah, it's really tough, because if I were going to play Alcaraz, I think I'd play it now, because I don't think you're going to get +300 to +350 on him against Djokovic in that match. But at the same time, it's, you know, I'm almost more worried about Alcaraz losing on the way than getting there. I think that if he were to get to the final, at that point, he will have had his feet wet on grass, kind of figured out the surface, and maybe you're looking at a more level playing field than you're seeing now. So I'd be more worried about, him getting tripped up on the way, as opposed to getting there.
All right. Zach Cohen, everybody. Zach, remind us what your single favorite football bet, in honor of the football betting guide coming out yesterday, what your single favorite football bet of the year was?
Yes, I like the Seahawks over 8.5 wins, and I think I like them on the alt line over 9.5. You can get that at plus money.
There you go. Seahawks. A lot of bullish picks on the Seahawks in the guide as well. People are into it. What could possibly go wrong? No, I understand the sentiment for sure. Matt Brown also loving the Seahawks. Zach, appreciate it. Good luck with all your bets at Wimbledon, and enjoy, man. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Zachary Cohen, everybody. Fresh off his honeymoon, betting tennis, betting football. Great having him on. He's such a great contributor to all that we do print-wise here at VSiN as well. Ben Wilson joins us to talk Wimbledon and football plays of his. As the betting guide week continues, betting guide out and about, VSiN.com/subscribe. That's next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for only $19 at VSiN.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Buddhist man, I can now retire my sleeveless Steve Fezzik sports bit. Looking professional in the button-down. Keep up the great work on the healthier lifestyle. Yeah. Steve used to come in here with the gun show. You remember that, Wyatt? Flexing.
But it was. I liked it. Yeah. He made that sleeveless T-shirt very popular.
I think he was. It was suggested to him by certain people in management. Maybe go a different way than the sleeveless. I think that's what happened there.
Yeah.
Tony George. Hey, Tony George at T George Sports. How you doing, Tony? He says, I downloaded the VSiN Pro Football Betting Guide and have looked it over in depth the past 2 days. And he's capitalizing here. An essential must for pro football bettors. Many angles and takes in there I was not considering that now I will. Good work by all at VSiN. Thank you, Tony George. And seriously, good work by all at VSiN who contributed to the Pro Football Betting Guide, which again, out as of yesterday, VSiN.com/subscribe. It's great to have it this early in the summer so you can really process it. Some guides come out a little too late. We even used to put ours out a little later, but this sort of gives you, not only can you continue to process it, but it sort of kickstarts your football handicapping in case you were going to lollygag and do it later in the summer. But really great job by everybody who provided to it, VSiN-wide. Ben Wilson is, of course, the person who will be the most famous out of VSiN, you know, non-Brent Musburger category. He joins us now on the heels of a solid College World Series. How you doing, Ben?
We're great, Gil. And yes, now we move on from, just like we all expected, from college baseball right into tennis with Wimbledon. Congratulations to LSU. I give them so much credit for figuring out their pitching just in time for the College World Series. Never had any tickets on them. So that was a bit disappointing, but it was a very fun College World Series overall. And now the tennis. I don't know if you've watched any of these new Breakpoint episodes on Netflix.
But I have not. I want to.
Okay, I don't want to spoil it for you, but the big takeaway I keep having with all these, and this goes back to the first batch of episodes that were released, it's like, as bettors, how do we still bet on these individuals when they're openly admitting all the mental gymnastics and hurdles that they have to go through? And I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but there is a Nick Kyrgios episode, the first episode of the new batch, that literally makes your jaw drop with the stuff he's talking about. And it's just a very fascinating way to get in now to a Wimbledon where that's where they resumed the Breakpoint series from Wimbledon last year, which we remember was very, very entertaining from a number of perspectives.
Yeah, I mean, that's by the way, that's a great preview. I can't wait to watch these. It really is, because I've always said, you know, tennis is the best combination of physical and mental, you know, fortitude in sports. Like the combination of those two things, there's nothing like tennis. But what you learn from this, both Breakpoint first batch and the second batch, as you put it, is, oh my God, it really, the fragility of all of it. It's like, then you wonder, right? You're like, oh my God, this is all teetering besides the gods, right? Besides like Djokovic and Nadal and Federer, who by the way, felt pressure too, but just knew how to manage it better than everybody else. Before we get to your thoughts on the draw, Ben, do you always hang out at Circa in a blazer, or are you doing a show after this?
On occasion I do, but I am following you, Gil. So expect your ratings as we always like to joke off air, expect your ratings to skyrocket at about 11:55 a.m. Eastern time. I'm with Michael Lombardi today. We've got a lot I know Michael will be in quite the mood with the James Harden news coming out last night in Philly. So we're going to lead off the show with that and have some good NFL talk today.
Yeah. I mean, since you bring it up before we get your Wimbledon thoughts, do you, free agency begins today at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. It's really just anybody's best guess at this point. Like this isn't the MLB trade deadline where we have, you know, more than a half a season where the records are banked. And then it's this short sprint to the end where you can see which team will, you know, if they just need this, if this team just gets this piece, then it can induce a bet. This is like guessing on who's going to end up where months before all the teams are 0-0 in the standings. Right. So it's just the ultimate crapshoot. Yeah. Do you have any sense of where James Harden ends up? I should just ask you that.
Oh, I think the first thing to remember is that Daryl Morey, his GM, we've seen this happen once before in Philly, and it was Ben Simmons, and he waited. He did not hurry and force himself into a bad deal. So I don't expect anything to happen for a while with Harden. It honestly wouldn't surprise me if we get to up to training camp into the start of the season, and he's still on the roster. Yeah. I mean, he's opted in technically, and they wait till we get into November, December to actually make a move. So I wouldn't assume just because this happens and this is the front page news right now, Morey's going to panic and take some 40-cent on the dollar deal from the LA Clippers. It wouldn't make any sense. That's what everybody seems to think will happen. There is a track record with Morey of you know, making sure he bides his time and doing the right thing. I don't expect that to happen.
I wouldn't trade anything for James Harden. I'm serious. Like nothing is substantial. I wouldn't. So I sort of get that. Okay, let's get to actual bets here. Wimbledon. The draw is out. We do see numbers on the ladies' side. Drew Dinsick and I are about to do, right after this show, we're about to do a Wimbledon preview podcast on the Beating the Book feed. What did you see, and where are your bets on this?
Right, so I'm looking at the bottom half where Elena Rybakina, and it's funny, we start this conversation talking the mentality of tennis and how it is so rare you find somebody who is just so rock solid. You know, Rybakina seems to be that player. I mean, you remember last year, she beats Ons Jabeur and barely even celebrates when she wins her first Grand Slam title.
She's unbelievable.
She's very such a stoic individual. Her game translates great for Wimbledon. It's a big server. Yeah, and yet, she is a very difficult, that Q3 draw where you are defending a Wimbledon title, your first ever Grand Slam, coming back the next year. I have question marks about her ability to get through that. And she gets potentially Elise Cornet in the second round, who has been a frequent giant killer. That moniker has kind of gone back and forth between an Elise Cornet over the years and a Kaya Kanepi. Those have been the two you think about. So Cornet, who knocked out Swiatek last year at Wimbledon, that could be a tricky test early. And you think about some of the names that are in Q3. I just pulled up the draw where, you know, Ons Jabeur is in that quarter. I know she hasn't been in the greatest of form in this calendar year, but you have Jabeur, the sixth seed. You have at least Karolina Pliskova, who is sort of the women's serve bot, a very difficult out on the grass where it plays much, you know, much slicker and faster. And, you know, you go down the line as well. You have a total wild card when you look at what Yelena Ostapenko brings, even though the French Open and the clays are much better surface. So I just look at that quarter and think it's a little bit more tricky. Bianca Andreescu, who's unseeded. Again, whenever she is healthy, you can never discount her game, which translates to all surfaces. So I'm not in love with Rybakina with the draw in this tournament, and I really believe this sets up well for Aryna Sabalenka in the bottom quarter. She was not allowed to play here last year with the ban on the Russian and Belarusian players, but remember, she fixed her serve basically going into the U.S. Open a season ago. Since then, in her Grand Slams, Gil, she's gone semi at the U.S. Open, win at the Australian Open, and a semi at the French, where, let's be honest, she completely choked against Karolina Muhova. That could be a rematch, Muhova-Sabalenka in round four. And if you look at her game, a power server, great baseliner, this is the type of service that should work really, really well, especially she's cut down tremendously on the double fault. So, I was on Sabalenka at the Aussie, which worked well. I assumed she would go out early at the French because that was her weakest surface. She proved a lot to me until that semifinal collapse. And so I really like her here at Wimbledon and certainly think we could easily get a Sabalenka-Rybakina rematch of the Aussie Open final in our Wimbledon semi. But that's what really jumped out to me. And then certainly believe Iga Swiatek has a simpler top half of the draw, certainly when you compare the top half to the bottom half.
She does. She absolutely does. That, and the biggest takeaway from the draw is that Q3 and Q4 are way more loaded than Q1 and Q2. Yeah. That's for sure. Iga getting back to the favorable draw. There was a stretch of draws here in slams where she didn't have the favorable draw after spending most of her early career getting favorable draws. I'm with you on Rybakina. I don't know that she's well, quite frankly. I don't know that she's feeling well still. But a vote for Sabalenka and a bet behind that, I'm guessing, for you, Ben, then on Sabalenka?
Best was, yeah, just as I got in here to Circa a few minutes ago, just doing some price shopping before we came on the air, plus 550 is the best number I see, and those are, I believe, FanDuel Boyd numbers you can find those at. So that is going to be in the account. And I know you're already on the Swiatek 4-1, and I've already seen that shorten now. I mean, I'm seeing plus 290, 3-1 in some shops. So I think the 4-1 is a good number on Swiatek. I think anything 5-1 or better on Sabalenka, though, is well worth a bet at this point pre-tournament.
All right. Football Guide came out yesterday. Your favorite football bet of the season is what?
Justin Herbert over 4,450.5 pass yards. I realize somewhat random here. Guy throws for almost 4,800 yards last year despite playing through torn rib cartilage and an offensive coordinator in Joe Lombardi who is completely uninventive and predictable. They get rid of Lombardi. They bring in Kellen Moore, who actually played quarterback, knows the position. Justin Herbert has added weapons at the wide receiver position. He's healthy, and you're downgrading his overall passing total yardage prop by 300-plus yards. This is a guy who is set up in a division where scoring is going to be needed to compete with all four teams in the division, where Justin Herbert and the Chargers, I believe, will be in a position to put up a big amounts of chunk plays through the air, and that is my favorite bet. That is one of those DraftKings player totals props. I wish I could bet that. I can't do that being in Nevada, but that is my favorite thing on the board so far.
Ben, when we live in a state that has legalized sports betting, man, it's going to be something else here in Nevada. It is really going to be something else.
Yeah, you're telling me, man.
I'm with you on Justin Herbert. Ben, enjoy. Have a good Lombardi line coming up at the top of the hour, man.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Ben Wilson. At Ben_Wilson_1, the number one on the Twitter machine. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke, his baseball bets and his other bets around the sports globe betting landscape. That's next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Skill Alexander. Wyatt Tomchek in for Kelly Bidlin from under a cloud of smoke, ladies and gentlemen, in Southern California. You can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. There's the smoke itself, a little smoke maker right there. It's Jason Weingarten. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. How's it going? What's up, former producer of mine, Wyatt? How's it going?
Good. Everything's good today. It's been a long week.
Used to produce Jason's pod. Is that what we're getting at here?
I forgot
about that. He was my producer. Always nice to say hi to people who I worked with.
Wyatt said he forgot about that. Oh, interesting.
I didn't say I forgot about that. I was like, I'm trying to remember producing. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. You know, yeah.
That's all right. It's all right.
I'm getting old. I'm forgetting stuff.
Listen, it's the whole cloud of smoke thing. You're forgiven. I understand. Jason, what are you betting on in baseball today?
I got three bets for you today. I got two first innings and a money line. I like the Nationals today. Can I get you excited about Josiah Gray and the Nationals at plus 159 against the Phillies? Because that's what I got.
Am I required to get excited, or can I just make the bet without much
excitement? You are not required to do anything. You don't even have to watch the game.
Yeah, that's
the
beauty.
You just have to check the box score. You don't even have to do that. You can just check if your bet won or not. But the two first innings I got today, I got the Twins and the O's, yes, minus 110. And the Giants and the Mets also, yes, minus 110.
Okay. O's and Giants games, minus 110. Yes, a run will be scored in the first inning. And you're on the Nationals for the game, backing Josiah Gray. I used to say that all the time, by the way, with baseball bets, if you require. I was like, you are not required to watch this Major League Baseball game. Just make the bet. About the first innings, I think we've talked about this before, but maybe not, which is, have you noticed the numbers becoming different as the years have come on? So in other words, yes, specifically, but I guess both, but you and I are usually locked into the yes, a run will be scored. Generally speaking, have you noticed that the market is not giving us as much bang for our buck on that?
Kinda. I mean, I noticed the totals in general are creeping up, and any day where, you know, your average total is going to be 8 or 9 and you don't see any sevens on the board or 7.5s, you're likely going to be laying money if you're betting these more often than not. And, you know, laying money doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad bet. It just, you know, obviously we always want to get plus money when possible, but, no, I mean, I think year over year, there's times where the market sort of reacts and you don't get good prices, and then it kind of comes back. And then obviously the playoffs start, and you always get good prices in the playoffs. But it doesn't seem to follow any sort of rhyme or reason. Like you don't win too much and then the numbers change. I've had markets, especially I've had baseball markets, where, you know, you win consistently and then all of a sudden the line goes from 30 cents or 32 cents to 40 plus cents or something like that. But in this case, not really.
Yeah, I don't mean like an adjustment based on, you know, in season kind of thing. I just, in general, just anecdotally, I seem to recall, and I could be completely wrong on this, but I seem to recall that the plus 130s and plus 140s of the world on yes runs being scored don't happen nearly as often.
Yeah, but that also, I mean, I could say two probably things to point out with that is, one, and you're also just not seeing 6.5 and 7 totals as much.
That's correct.
This season.
Yep. Okay. Yep.
If we were seeing those, we'd see them every day. And then the other issue is just the lack of shift this year. You know, you see it with guys like Corey Seager, for example. They're just hitting the ball so much better than they were the last year or two because they can't be shifted against.
Corey Seager, just such a huge beneficiary of that rule change for sure. What else are you betting on besides baseball? What do you got going right now?
You know, surprisingly, I have very little golf this week. I don't know if it was just a function of not finding anything or not being excited. Can always jump in live. Plus, there was no LPGA this week to get excited about.
That's great.
But
it's great that we've gotten to that point.
On,
yes.
Hungary and China in the FIBA World Championships for under 19. I was betting on the Afro Baskets, the African Championship. It was, I think, women's basketball, Ivory Coast earlier this morning.
Sure you were. Yeah.
There's another game starting, I think 10 minutes, actually, but. It's actually kind of a light week for me going into the All-Star break. Pretty excited going on, get to go on a quick little vacation, probably going to go to the All-Star game. And
oh, nice.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of nice winding down the season right now, or the first half of the season.
Will you bet on the Home Run Derby?
Yeah, of course I will. I'll be there.
Should we think of it? Are you already thinking about a name without seeing the numbers? Or are you already thinking about a certain player?
I mean, do we know who's in it yet?
We know, well, we think, I think, did I see Vlad is in it yesterday? They're trickling in now at this point.
And Julio Rodriguez is going to be in it because it's in Seattle, I'm assuming. You know, obviously I'd like to bet on Ellie De La Cruz. I don't know if he's going to be a good bet. I doubt it'll be a good number. These always tend to be a ton of fun to bet on the Home Run Derby and everything, but I couldn't tell you what the odds were going to be ahead of time. I have no idea. I'm guessing all the popular names though will be very little value though.
Well, you know, and then there's the question of, is Shohei doing it? He's yet to decide.
I heard he's being strongly advised against it.
I would strongly advise against it too. Like, why would he want to do that? But just up until a couple days ago, he was undecided.
Yeah, I heard he's out, but okay. You know, my info could be second, third, fourth hand. Who knows?
Could we go back to the LPGA thing for a sec? Because I don't want to gloss over that. Because some people are going to be like, LPGA doesn't have any no LPGA to get excited about. So Rosie Zhang, who you bet, Stanford's Rosie Zhang, now a professional golfer, you bet her first two tournaments, the second of which was a major. She didn't win that, but she did win the first. Are you at the point now, just this quickly into her career, that you're going to bet her every single tournament?
Yes and no, because when you ask me, am I going to bet her every single tournament? Yes, I will. But I have sort of, you know, there's different levels of betting. Like I talk about when I bet the NBA, most of the time my NBA betting is recreational level, because I know I'm not going to beat the NBA long term. On something like this, I'm aware that I'm not necessarily getting value, you know, 3, 4, 5 starts into a career like I was the first time. I'll still bet it because I always feel, you know, I'd rather bet $100 on something or a couple $100 on something and have a ticket than not bet it and spend the weekend annoyed that I didn't bet one of my favorite golfers. You know, I just do it for my own satisfaction as opposed to the, you know, the EV I'm getting out of it. So yeah, I'll bet it, but like, I'm not going to go crazy on it every week, you know, with the huge position thinking that I'm getting value.
We've asked every human being, not only on this show this week, but on the network, if they have any season long football bets that they've made. Have you made any yet?
I have not made a single NFL bet yet this off season. Doesn't mean I won't. And I'm planning to. Just, you know, I've been so busy with baseball and everything else that jumping in on NFL futures as early hasn't really had my attention. And plus, I don't know, like the player awards markets, I feel like in football, you're less likely to get a big winner, you know, off the pace like you are in some of these other awards markets. So
I 100% agree with that.
I'll pay attention to them. I just haven't had time yet.
100% agree with that. You will not get the bevy of long shots like you would in baseball. Okay, last thing then. Best season-long baseball bet, whether it's the division bet, an awards bet, that exists right now that people can bet.
All right, the shortest bet, I think, you know, because a lot of times I look at big numbers, but I think a short number, still getting like plus 170 or slightly higher on the Guardians to win the AL Central. I've been very, very anti Minnesota Twins, and you saw Rocco Bedelli this week kind of just lose it after the Braves series and complain about how poorly the Twins are playing, and he's right. They're just not a playoff team in my eyes. So I think that's the best season long bet. Futures wise, there's a field bet. Acuna versus the field, he's like 194 versus the field at FanDuel. You know, somebody could beat Acuna for MVP, but I don't see it. I think that's a short price right now.
Yeah, Araya's down to a paltry 392 as we do the show this morning. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it, man.
Talk to you later, Gil. Always fun.
Always fun. Jason Weingarten. Lombardi Line is next, hosted by the great Ben Wilson. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.